Those types of people are never satisfied. This is the LifeSpring 1-Year Bible coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004. I'm Steve Webb, your OG Godcaster. I'll have some information later on the show about what happened with Leanne on Thursday and my mistakes in posting that brief announcement episode. It's Gospel Saturday today, and we'll read Acts 5 and 6. The website is lifespringmedia.com, and contact information will be, as always, at the end of the show. Before we read, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, and we thank you again for this time that you've brought us together to read your word. I pray that as we do, you would bless us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, are you ready? Let's begin. Acts chapter 5. There was a man named Ananias. His wife's name was Sapphira. Ananias sold some land he had, but he gave only part of the money to the apostles. He secretly kept some of the money for himself. His wife knew this, and she agreed with it. Peter said, "Ananias, why did you let Satan fill your mind with such an idea? You kept part of the money for yourself and lied about it to the Holy Spirit. Before you sold the field, it belonged to you, right? And even after you sold it, you could have used the money any way you wanted. How could you even think of doing such a thing? You lied to God, not to us." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Some young men came and wrapped his body. They carried it out and buried it. And everyone who heard about this was filled with fear. About 3 hours later, his wife came in. Sapphira did not know about what had happened to her husband. Peter said to her, "Tell me how much money you got for your field. Was it this much?" Sapphira answered, "Yes, that was all we got for the field." Peter said to her, "Why did you and your husband agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, do you hear those footsteps? The men who buried your husband are at the door. They will carry you out in the same way." At that moment, Sapphira fell down by his feet and died. The young men came in and saw that she was dead. They carried her out and buried her beside her husband. The whole church and all the other people who heard about this were filled with fear. The apostles were given the power to do many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. They were together in Solomon's porch, and they all had the same purpose. None of the other people dared to stand with the apostles, but everyone was saying wonderful things about them. More and more people believed in the Lord, and many men and women were added to the group of believers. So the people brought those who were sick into the streets and put them on little beds and mats. They were hoping that Peter's shadow might fall on them as he walked by. People came from all the towns around Jerusalem. They brought those who were sick or troubled by evil spirits. All of them were healed. The high priest and all his friends, a group called the Sadducees, became very jealous. They grabbed the apostles and put them in jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail. The angel led the apostles outside and said, "Go and stand in the temple area. Tell the people everything about this new life." When the apostles heard this, they did what they were told. They went into the temple area about sunrise and began to teach the people. The high priest and his friends came together and called a meeting of the high council and all the older Jewish leaders. They sent some men to the jail to bring the apostles to them. When the men went to the jail, they could not find the apostles there. So they went back and told the Jewish leaders about this. They said, "The jail was closed and locked. The guards were standing at the doors. But when we opened the doors, the jail was empty." The captain of the temple guards and the leading priests heard this. They were confused and wondered what it all meant. Then another man came and told them, "Listen, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple area teaching the people." The captain and his men went out and brought the apostles back. But the soldiers did not use force because they were afraid of the people. They were afraid the people would stone them to death. The soldiers brought the apostles in and made them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them. He said, "We told you never again to teach using that name. But look at what you have done. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are trying to blame us for his death." Peter and the other apostles answered, "We must obey God, not you. You killed Jesus by nailing him to a cross, but God, the same God our fathers had, raised Jesus up from death. Jesus is the one God honored by giving him a place at his right side. He made him our leader and savior. God did this to give all the people of Israel the opportunity to change and to turn to God to have their sins forgiven. We saw all these things happen, and we can say that they are true. The Holy Spirit also shows that these things are true. God has given this Spirit to all those who obey Him. When the council members heard this, they became very angry. They began to plan a way to kill the apostles. But one member of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, stood up. He was a teacher of the law, and all the people respected him. He told the men to make the apostles leave the meeting for a few minutes. Then he said to them, "Men of Israel, be careful of what you are planning to do to these men. Remember when Theudas appeared? He said he was an important man, and about 400 men joined him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were scattered and ran away. And so now I tell you, stay away from these men. Leave them alone. If their plan is something they thought up, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop them. You might even be fighting against God Himself." The Jewish leaders agreed with what Gamaliel said. They called the apostles in again. They beat them and told them not to speak anymore using the name of Jesus. Then they let them go free. The apostles left the council meeting. They were happy because they were given the honor of suffering dishonor for Jesus. The apostles did not stop teaching the people. They continued to tell the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They did this every day in the temple area and in people's homes. Acts chapter 6. At that time, as the number of disciples grew, Greek-speaking Jews complained about the Hebrew-speaking Jews. The Greek-speaking Jews claimed that the widows among them were neglected every day when food and other assistance was distributed. The 12 apostles called all the disciples together and told them, "It's not right for us to give up God's word in order to distribute food. So, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men whom the people know are spiritually wise. We will put them in charge of this problem. However, we will devote ourselves to praying and to serving in ways that are related to the word." The suggestion pleased the whole group. So they chose Stephen, who was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And they chose Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, who had converted to Judaism in the city of Antioch. The disciples had these men stand in front of the apostles, who prayed and placed their hands on these 7 men. The word of God continued to spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem grew very large. A large number of priests accepted the faith. Stephen was a man filled with God's favor and power. He did amazing things and performed miracles. One day, some men from the cities of Cyrene and Alexandria in the provinces of Cilicia and Asia started an argument with Stephen. They belonged to a synagogue called Freedmen's Synagogue. They couldn't argue with Stephen because he spoke with the wisdom that the Spirit had given him. Then they bribed some men to lie. These men said, "We heard him slander Moses and God." The liars stirred up trouble among the people, the leaders, and the experts in Moses' teachings. So they went to Stephen, took him by force, and brought him in front of the Jewish council. Some witnesses stood up and lied about Stephen. They said, "This man never stopped saying bad things about the holy place and Moses' teachings. We heard him say that Jesus from Nazareth will destroy the temple and change the customs that Moses gave us." Everyone who sat in the council stared at him and saw that his face looked like an angel's face. Let's talk a little bit about chapter 5. After the apostles had been locked up for preaching about Jesus, and after the angel of the Lord had released them during the night and had told them, "Go, stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life," they went right back to the temple to again teach or preach to the people. So the high priest had them brought back to stand once more before the council, and he said, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Well, this ought to sound a little bit familiar to you. Doesn't this kind of thing go on today? Aren't we told not to speak the name of Jesus? Christians are one of the only groups today that are discriminated against, and it's perfectly fine with most of the world. I've been asked a couple of times to pray publicly, and I've been told that when I end my prayer, I'm not to say, "In Jesus' name." It's okay to pray to some nebulous God out there somewhere and then just say, "Amen." But to say, "In Jesus' name I pray," that's not allowed. Well, of course, I ignored that directive when I did it, but there are people every day that are told not to use the name of Jesus. What Peter and the other apostles said to the high priest and the council should be an encouragement to us. They said, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior, to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Beloved, they got the courage to do this from the same Holy Spirit that is in every believer today. Don't be afraid to speak the name of Jesus and tell what he's done in your life and what he wants to do in the lives of every person alive. Be bold. Be strong. Do not obey those who would tell you to shut up. We answer to a higher authority. We answer to Almighty God. Now, that's not to say that we'll necessarily be miraculously rescued. As a matter of fact, there's a good chance that we'll not be. But is that any reason to be afraid? Is it not better to do what God wants us to do than to do what man wants us to do? In Luke 12:4-5, Jesus said, "Dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after that. But I'll tell you whom to fear. Fear God, who has the power to kill you and then throw you into hell. Yes, he's the one to fear." Beloved, he didn't say that to scare us into obeying God. He said that to say that we have nothing to fear from men. Of course, God has the power to throw us into hell, but if we're in Christ, he's promised that we're forgiven. So really, that part is a moot point. Personally, I would much rather die doing what God has called me to do than to deny him in the hopes of escaping the punishment of men. Those types of people are never satisfied. They'll always continue to require more and more until they've sucked the life out of you anyway. Now listen, my prayer is that no one listening to this right now will ever have to make that choice. But it's better to decide in advance what choice we will make, rather than wait until circumstances force a hasty emotional decision. Growing tyranny seems to be the order of the day around the world, beloved. We must be prepared. Prepared to stand and speak the truth of God and his offer of eternal life through Jesus. Prepared to face opposition from those who hate God. And prepared, yes, to sacrifice the fleeting life of the body for eternal life with God and with those who've gone before us. Well, beloved, what will you choose? Are you prepared? Do you have a comment or a question? Talk to me. Listen at the end of the show for how to do that. Tomorrow will be Epistle Sunday, and we'll finish the book of Hebrews with chapters 11 through 13. Plus, we'll have a time of praise reports and prayer requests. Earlier this week, Scott Snyder donated $432.67. He sent a note with that donation that slipped through the cracks in my email system, or it just didn't get to me. So he sent another email to me which says, "I just donated $432.67 to the LifeSpring One-Year Bible, and I'm not sure the message I typed on your website came through or not. This brings me up to the $1,000 level," and he sent his accounting. He said, "Your work has been a blessing in my life, Steve, and I wanted to make this donation to help with God's work and your current situation. I truly hope that you'll enjoy your vacation. I think I've said this before, but my wife has been reading the Bible on her own and is on her third trip through the Bible. Over the last couple of years, we've had the occasion to discuss and ask each other questions about what we encounter in our studies, and I thank you for this. If this qualifies me for a second copy of Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide, I would appreciate it if you would make it out to my wife, Diana Lynn Snyder. She uses the first one we got via the 202 promotion almost every day. I have a friend at work who I know would appreciate a copy, and I would pass the first one along to him." Well, Scott, thank you so much for your note, and my goodness, I'm sorry I didn't see the first note. I don't have any explanation for why I didn't see it, but anyway, this makes Scott our newest LifeSpring Family Berean. What is a LifeSpring Family Berean? Well, first, in Acts chapter 17, we read, "The Bereans were eager to hear what Paul and Silas said and studied the scriptures every day to find out if these things were true." So these were people, beloved, that truly loved studying the scriptures. So I can think of no higher honor than to be called a Berean. And when a LifeSpring family member donates $1,000 or more, I like to acknowledge their contribution to the show with the title of LifeSpring Family Berean. And as a Berean, men are addressed as brother and women as sister. So henceforth, Scott Snyder will be named Brother Scott. Many blessings to you, Brother Scott. Thank you so much for all you do. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for creating album art for the show. And thank you for your donations of treasure as well. You are a consistent contributor of time, talent, and treasure. Thank you so much, Brother Scott. God bless you. Welcome to the ranks of LifeSpring Family Bereans. We also have a distinguished producer today. Anonymous sent in their weekly $33.33 donation. Thank you so much, Anonymous. God bless you. And Michael Hayner is our associate producer today. He sent in his weekly $7.77 donation. Thank you, Michael, and God bless you.
Boostergram!
And yes, we got some Boostergrams today. Fountain User 2558 sent in a 500-sat Boostergram and just said thank you. Well, thank you, 2558. God bless you. And Fountain User Serve in Silence sent in a 2,500-sat Boostergram on the A Brief Announcement episode and said, bless you. Well, thank you so much, Serve in Silence. God bless you as well. Beloved, this is a Value for Value podcast, and if you're happy that there is a new episode for you every single day of the week, if you're thankful that at the end of the season, which is 77 episodes away if I'm doing my math right, if you're thankful that we will have read the entire Bible together, please pray about how you can give back, either with time, talent, or treasure. To learn more and to make a donation, go here.
LifeSpringMedia.com/support.
So Thursday was kind of a tough one. I got a call from the lovely Lady Leanne a little after noon. She was at work and was having chest pains. When she's at work and I'm here at home, we're about a half an hour apart, so I told her to go to the ER and I'd meet her there. And then she went to tell her boss that she was going to drive herself to the ER because of chest pains, and he, of course, said, "We'll call an ambulance." But Leanne wouldn't have any of that, so he had one of Leanne's colleagues drive her. Well, by the time I got there, about 35 or 40 minutes later, Leanne was checked into the ER, and they were taking an EKG and drawing blood. They told me I had to wait in the waiting room until the tests were done, when a nurse brought her out in a wheelchair, and then we had to wait for the blood test results. The waiting room was crowded with about 30 or 40 other people who were not having a good day either, and while we waited, I asked Leanne what she was feeling. She said the pain at its worst was about an 8 out of 10, with 10 being the worst pain imaginable. A possibly good sign was that the pain was on the right side of her chest. Heart pain is usually on the left or center, but not always. The pain seemed to be worse when she breathed in, which told me a little bit, and she said that she had some tingling in her right arm, which was kind of concerning. Now, you should understand that Leanne usually has a very high tolerance for pain, so for her to say that she was really in a lot of pain was concerning for me. Well, after waiting about 90 minutes, a nurse came to the waiting room and called out her name. Lee Webb? Yeah, they dropped the "and" for some reason. Lee Webb? Finally, we thought. Now we'll get some answers. So I wheeled Leanne over to the nurse, who said, "We need more blood." Rats. No answers now. But I reasoned, if they want more blood, that could be a sign that it is not a heart attack. Because I know on the first set of blood tests, they looked for the heart attack enzymes in the blood. And so if they're needing more blood, I'm thinking it probably isn't a heart attack. I thought they must be looking for something else, which we found out later was correct. But what was the something else? So anyway, the nurse took her back into the bowels of the emergency department to take more blood. And she brought her back out to the waiting room about 10 minutes later. And then we had to wait about another 90 minutes until another voice called her name. Lee Webb? 3 or 4 more times before I could maneuver the wheelchair with Leanne in it through the now even more crowded waiting room to where the voice was calling her. And here the jovial man in surgical scrubs took us into another room where he told us that he had good news. She was not having a cardiac event at all, as I suspected. Not a heart attack. Also, it was not congestive heart failure, which didn't even enter my mind. Not a blood clot, which also had not entered my mind, but I'm glad it wasn't there. It makes sense that it could be now that I think about it, but it wasn't that. It was just an undetermined chest wall pain. He couldn't tell us the reason. That's not what they do in the ER, he told us. They determined that it was not an emergency And that was as far as they would go. Now, by the time we got to this point, Leanne had been suffering with this pain for at least 4 hours, but that doesn't account for the time before she said anything to me or anybody else. I find out later that she had been feeling pain earlier in the day, but late in the morning she was making a trip out to the car, walking kind of quickly. She was in a hurry, and all of a sudden the pain just got really bad, and that's what really scared her. So the point is, she'd been suffering with this pain for quite some time, and they had not yet done anything for the pain. The jovial man said that he would order a couple of meds for her to be given through her IV line that they'd started for her. One was for the pain, and one was to lessen the inflammation that was probably causing the pain. Well, at this point, we thought, goody, relief is on the way. But for some reason, Mr. Jovial couldn't dispense the drugs himself. So we had to go out again to the waiting room. And by now, Leanne was at the end of her rope. The pain was wearing her down. She was weak. She was hungry, only having had 2 eggs and some fruit at about 7 o'clock that morning. And so she was getting hangry. And then about, you guessed it, about 90 minutes later, we hear another voice call her name. This time the waiting room is even more crowded and noisier. And when her name was called, Lee Webb, we both said, over here. And I began to try to wheel her through the crowd. But the voice called out again. We're coming, I said. And 5 seconds later, the voice called out once more, Lee Webb! This time, Leanne said in an uncharacteristically hangry voice, several decibels higher than normal, we're coming! I guess you could say that by now, Leanne was at the end of her rope. So when we finally made our way over to the nurse who would administer the drugs, she pointed to a room barely larger than the wheelchair itself. Now, the wheelchairs they have there, I should say, are probably 15 or 20% bigger than the normal wheelchair that you probably think of when you hear the word wheelchair. It's an industrial wheelchair. It's big and it's heavy. Anyway, I had to negotiate through 2 very narrow doors to get into this room that's barely larger than the wheelchair. And when we were finally in, the nurse said, I need you to back her in. There's no room in here. So I carefully backed her through the 2 very narrow doors into the slightly wider corridor, turned around 180 degrees, and backed her through the 2 very narrow doors yet again, where we waited another 10 minutes for the drug-pushing nurse to log into her computer, find Leanne's record, log the drugs into the records, prep the vials of drugs, prep the IV line, and finally administer the drugs. At which point, of course, I had to push her back out through those 2 very narrow doors back into the waiting room and try to find a place to park the wheelchair so we could leave. Before we left, we were told that they had phoned a prescription over to our local pharmacy. They had asked which pharmacy we use, and they called it over there, but by the time we checked out of the hospital, the pharmacy was closed. So we found a local restaurant near to the hospital to have a late dinner so that Leanne could get some nourishment. Now, I'm recording this on Friday night, and she does feel better, but she's still having some pain. And as I said, she has a high tolerance for pain, so yeah, she went to work today. And because she obviously left her car at work on Thursday, what with her unplanned trip to the ER, I drove her to work this morning in my truck, which is a half an hour trip, and that was at about 7:30 this morning. Our pharmacy, which is just down the street from where we live, doesn't open until 9 o'clock. So there was about an hour and a half before the pharmacy was to open again. So after dropping her off at work, I had to take care of a windshield repair client who was 45 minutes in a completely opposite direction of either her work or our home, and then another 50 minutes back toward our home to take care of another windshield repair client, then go to get her prescription, drive it a half hour back to her work, then a half an hour back home. So this was a day of racking up the miles. Oh, and did I mention that I only got about 4 hours sleep Thursday night, Friday morning? Yeah, so combine lack of sleep with Thursday's stress with lots of driving on a hot Southern California day, and what you get is a guy who really prays for restful, deep sleep tonight. Oh, and about the mistakes I made in posting the brief announcement episode Thursday night. I have to say, I was so frustrated when I realized the mistake yesterday morning. I barely had time to get it pushed out on Thursday night by the 10 o'clock deadline, And I just rushed too much, and I made a mistake on the sound file, the episode file that I attached to the episode. What you got was an episode that's supposed to be played during my vacation. So if you got that episode and you're going, wait, you're already on vacation? No, we weren't anything but on vacation. So if you got anything other than the brief announcement, just chalk it up to my fatigue. And if you hadn't noticed, I really do need that vacation. I can't wait till it gets here. So anyway, bottom line for Leanne is this. We don't know for sure the reason for her chest pain yet. We're waiting for an appointment with her doctor to see if we can get some answers. And if you would, pray that we can get that appointment quickly. The vacation is a little less than 2 weeks away, so time is short. So that's the news as of this minute. I will keep you informed. Thank you for your patience. Please remember that tomorrow is Sunday and we'll be sharing praises and prayer requests. You can remain anonymous if you want to. And here's how you can contact me. Leave a voice message. Call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511 or go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. And if you have a comment or if you have a question, go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. And of course, Boostagrams are an awesome way to comment or question. And there's always email. Steve@lifespringmedia.com. Thanks to today's show artist, Jason Pascal, and thanks to Sister Denise, Michael Hainer, Brother Scott, and Sister Brittany. Thank you for indulging my long-windedness, beloved. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
LifeSpring Media, bringing the message of hope, love, and good news since 2004.